Good morning, Jacob's Wall. It's great to see you all here today. I'm Greg Meyer, pastor of this crazy bunch. Thank you, Paul. Good to have you be here with us. We've got some good stuff today. Before I jump into things, I just want to say that one of the things that we have available are financial coaches here at Jacob's Wall. I know it's sort of that time of year. There's been a lot of financial stress, and maybe the New Year's kind of has given you a resolve and so on. But we had this goal for everybody at kind of even loosely attached to our community, that everyone that's part of Jacob's Wall has a budget that they can actually live off of, and if they have unsecured debt, that they got a plan on how to get out of that, and the support to kind of keep putting together and fix it when it doesn't work, because that often happens, all right? So we've got 8 trained coaches that are here to do one thing only, and that is to help you make sense of your finances. So if you like need a major overhaul, or just want to check through it, or just like aren't quite sure how to put it together, put it on your communication card, just get in touch with us, and we'll help you out with that. So just a quick note about that. If you want to pull out your Sunday papers and turn them over, you got an outline there. I invite you to follow along with that. And also, you all need a communication card. And some of you may have already put your communication card in the offering baskets. So if you did and you need another one, Melissa's wandering around. She'll just pass them out there. So that's something for you to have. We're talking about life in 3D. This week. And this is the second week of this series. And, you know, so what's this all about? What is this 3D idea all about? Well, it's basically this. There is life, and then there is really living. Okay? The 3D glasses are a good example of that you put on to watch a movie. There's the old-fashioned kind, the red and blue ones that, you know, they block out 2 different colors so you could see 2 different images at the same time, and it would give your mind the impression of depth, and so it only works with black and white, unfortunately. And now if you go to a theater, you're going to get different kinds. You're going to get these really cool ones like this. And what these do is that they polarize the light. One lens does it horizontally, the other lens does it vertically, allowing you again to see 2 separate images, and your brain puts it together in order to see a brand new image that gives you the impression that it's 3-dimensional. Now, that's movies. Life in 3D is not a trick, it's not an illusion, it's the real thing. It actually is 3D. And this is actually, you know, the way that life was meant to be. And if you look on your outlines, this is the first fill-in. Life in 3D is life that is fulfilling. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about life that is fulfilling. But like 3D images that you might watch in a movie, what makes it fulfilling is that you're able to see it from 2 views at the same time and put it together and see it in a new depth and a new way that makes it real in a way you never thought it could be before. And those 2 views are yours and God's. Now, God's view is really important because God can see so much more and so much deeper, and, you know, so much greater than you would ever imagine that you could see. And so God's view is really important. Now, the problem with God's view alone is that, like, God can see too much. God's view alone would just be confusing and mind-boggling and overwhelming, and you would have too much, you wouldn't be able to relate to it. So your view is also essential because it is your view where you are in the world and what you are dealing with, how you see the world, that is essential to making God's view be relevant and to know what to do with it. So we need to marry these 2 views together. How you see the world, who you are, is good. It's important. But it isn't able to carry off what a 3D life, a really fulfilling life, needs to be all about all by itself. It needs to be married with God's view of the world, and that's pretty essential. On the left-hand side of your, or I guess it's the right-hand side of your Sunday paper, you're going to see a little chart up there. It looks like that up there. And it just says, you know, other ways to say it, life in 2D and life in 3D. Sometime today, maybe tomorrow morning when you're doing soap, talk a little bit about that later. I'd invite you to fill this chart out. Say, well, in my own experience, you know, all this stuff Greg is talking about, what would I say a 2D life is like, and what is a 3D life like? I mean, in concrete ways for me. Write some of the words down, the corresponding words on that chart, or maybe in the journal that you use for soap. Okay? And then the other thing I'd invite you to do is, what are ways that the Bible talks about 2D and 3D? Surprise, surprise, the Bible actually never says 2D and 3D. I don't know why, missed it, but nonetheless, the Bible certainly conveys the same idea in lots of ways. And the Bible uses some terminology like lost and found, dead and alive, asleep, awake, without God or in Christ, slave, free, sin, holy, things like these. Sometimes, you know, as you're reading the Bible and you find these things, write them on that chart as well. And if you have trouble relating to some of those biblical terms because they're not the sort of things you say every day and maybe not the categories you think in, your insight would be, okay, maybe the Bible with those words is trying to say some of the same things I said with these words. And your experience of what 2D and 3D, not so fulfilling and truly fulfilling, maybe those are insights into what the Bible has been trying to tell you all along. So something to try there. And by the way, kind of digesting this would be a great thing to do in your group life groups this week. So that's a thought. Okay, a warning here, though. When I say that the 3D life is fulfilling, I have to tell you right off that 3D life isn't about life enhancement for you. It is about seeing, experiencing, being part of life that is really life. That means truly engaging you, not necessarily or probably not truly indulging you. I don't know about you, I prefer to be indulged, but it doesn't work. Now, there are churches out there that preach what is often called a prosperity gospel, saying that, you know, the fact that you are personally prospering is a sign that you are in God's favor. I think they're reading a different Bible than I am, okay? So if that is the message you want and you're waiting to hear, there are churches that are going to tell it to you. I'm not, okay? So I'm going to tell you a little bit different story about all of this. And that is the 3D life is fulfilling in three ways. And you're going to see a place for this on your outline too. First of all, the 3D life is fulfilling God's will. Sorry, it isn't about you. It's about God. It's not about God getting God's way instead of yours. It's not about you doing something for God that God couldn't do or have otherwise. No, the 3D life is aligned with God. It is the kind of life that God wants you to have to make you a better co-creator of the world that God imagines. That's the primary thing that God wants to fulfill through your 3D life. God's own will. It's a good thing. Second of all, no, it's still not about you. The 3D life is fulfilling the world's needs. The 3D life is fulfilling the world's needs. The universe is not composed of you and then a supporting cast of the you show, all right? Even though we look at it that way quite a bit. You are a part of something bigger. Your life isn't for your amusement, but for you to play your part in a world that is amazing and wonderful and invaluable, a world that God loves for its own sake. And the well-being of that universe is inextricably tied with your well-being. So seeking to fulfill the world's needs is really ends up being fairly fulfilling for you too. I think we all know this. You don't need me to tell you this, but it's something that we all need to be reminded of pretty often. Okay, third, now it's our turn. The 3D life is fulfilling your possibilities. 3D life is fulfilling your possibilities. Not your desires, not your preferences, but your possibilities. When you fulfill, you've experienced this, when you fulfill even one possibility, it energizes you. It excites you. It makes you ambitious. It makes you look for other possibilities. And it just starts this cavalcade of wonderful things that happens in your life. Life in 3D is reaching one possibility after another. It's more about who you are than what you do. It's more about what you give than what you have. It's fulfilling your possibilities. Okay, I think it's important for us to be a little bit clear here about what we're talking about when we say this 3D life. I hope you get a picture of it. I hope you're hungry for it. I hope you realize, yeah, that is something that I want, and it is different from the life that I just automatically have. So if that's what it's like, how does it start? How do we begin? And that's what this week is all about. The first piece of the 3D life is what we call being inspired. It's about inspiration, all right? Adding God's lens to our glasses to see what is really going on in the world and in our own lives. That's what we mean when we say the 3D life starts with inspiration. It's getting God's point of view in there, being inspired by that. Now, you all know what getting inspired is like, right? You've experienced it in lots of different ways. So just to drive all of you introverts crazy, I'm going to ask you, find two other people, so there's three of you. It can be someone that you're already with, that's fine. Make for sure someone around you isn't like totally left in the cold. And I want you to just talk for just a minute about this, you know, what is it like to be inspired? How does it feel and how does it happen, okay? So just take a couple of minutes, just throw out a few words and go for it. Okay, I bet you've got this figured out. This isn't rocket science. Just throw out, what are some of the things you came up with? What's inspiration like? How does it happen? Just shout it out. Energize. That's it? Hopeful, motivating, new life, unexpected, moves you into action, makes something happen, lights, creates curiosity, connection. Anything else to add to that list? New ideas. Okay. So, that, you know, you all have the stuff that you talked about. I hope you're thinking about that. But so there's lots of ways and lots of places in our lives that inspiration happens, all right? But there's something that they all seem to kind of hold in common, and you've named a lot of them. This idea that it is unexpected, something that you didn't say, but I think is really true, and you can process this one, and that inspiration tends to come from outside of you. It's just like, you know, just all of a sudden it's there. Another thing about it that I think I touched on was this idea that the impact of the inspiration is somehow disproportionate to the input. I mean, this is just a person telling you something or something you just saw, but all of a sudden, like, everything is different, all right? In that respect, it's a game changer. Inspiration has a tendency to be a game changer, way beyond what you might expect from the few words or the small experience or whatever that created. It lifts you up, and maybe above all, and fitting with all that, it's surprising, isn't it? It's unexpected, and it's surprising in its power and the way it makes you feel and what it does. Now, like I said, there's lots of types of inspiration that apply to all aspects of our life, but they all share this unexpected, surprising, game-changing insight that appears out of nowhere. The word inspiration comes from, you know, basically to inspire, to breathe into something. It was what God did to the first human being in that ancient story from Genesis that talks about, you know, the creation of the very first person. Again, that's a story that conveys a message. It isn't meant to be scientific. It's also what the God Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is said to do to all of us, to inspire us. And that word spirit, by the way, means wind, all right? We are inspired. We are enwinded with God's Spirit. Now, And God does this, the Spirit does this, breathes into us this way, not just to give us one more breath of air so we can keep going, but to give us new life, like we heard, a different life, a 3D life. Now, here's where I want to go out on the limb with all this. This inspiration that we get, the stuff that is the real game changers, that takes us from a 2D to a 3D life, comes from getting to know God. You get that kind of inspiration from getting to know God. Now, you may be like Joan of Arc and hear voices, or you may read the Bible or some other book. You may get it from talking to a friend, from meditating. It might happen in the shower, out on the run, from watching a sunset or some sort of experience with nature. It doesn't matter. All these things are putting on the glasses and suddenly seeing the world and understanding more of your life than you did before. And here's where I'm going out on the limb for this. The more you experience God, and the more you get to know God, the more consistently, the more relevantly, and the more transformatively those experiences are going to be for you. So I think one of the tricks is, how do I get to know God? How do I get to know God? Now, in our soap this last week, just a couple days ago, I can't remember exactly when it was, but one of the readings was from Job chapter 42. Did you guys, who did that? I did. All right. Okay, all you shy people. Job chapter 42. So the book of Job. Job is this epic, classic, ancient story of this kind of prototype person that went through enormous human suffering, Okay? And he's mad at God about it, and he thinks justly so. And what's really interesting is God doesn't disagree with him. God's basic, and when we get to the very end of the book, these verses are from the very end of the book, God just says, okay, you're right, you just don't understand. You need to see it from my perspective. Sound familiar? You need to put on these glasses. So God gives him a glimpse, a 3D glimpse of what the universe is really all about and how it works and what his part is, and it just kind of blows Job's mind. And so we have these six verses. I'm going to read them to you. It's on the screen as well. Then Job answered the Lord after his mind-blowing experience, I know, Lord, that you are all-powerful, that you can do everything you want. You ask how I dare question your wisdom when I am so very ignorant. I talked about things I did not understand, about marvels too great for me to know. You told me to listen while you spoke and to try to answer your questions. In the past, I knew only what others had told me, but now I have seen you with my own eyes. So I am ashamed of all I have said, and I repent in dust and ashes. Okay, so I read that, and in soap, I'm looking for what's the verse that sticks out for me, the line, the sentence that sticks out for me. And to me, it was totally clear. It was verse 5, all right? But there were two other lines in there that bugged me. They caught my attention, not because they inspired me, but because they distracted me. They were bothering me. And so I need to deal with those first, okay? And the one is verse 2 where it says, I know, Lord, that you are all-powerful, that you can do everything you want. I said, so God, if you're all-powerful and you can do everything you want, how come you aren't doing anything about so many things in this world? Well, I knew I had like 10 minutes, and I wasn't going to solve that. So what I did is I put a question mark at the end of that verse, and I made a little note in my journal, so why aren't you doing anything, God? All right, and then I let that go. The other one that bugged me was verse 6. So I'm ashamed of all I have said and repent in dust and ashes. I'm sorry, probably because I have a big ego. That's like just too self-deprecating for me. All right? It's okay to feel sorry. It's okay to be a little regretful, but, you know, this dust and ashes and stuff like that just doesn't go good down with me. So I put a question mark there, and I wrote that, and then I could put those aside, and I noted them. I think God wants me to do that. God doesn't say you have to answer all these questions, but God says you got good questions. They should be talked about. So they're noted. I'll come back to them sometime. That's good. Then it let me free to be dealing with the verse that I knew I needed to hear that day. And that was verse 5. Verse 5 says this, God, in the past I knew only what others had told me about you, but now I have seen you with my own eyes. That is amazing. My observation about that led directly to my application of it. I mean, is this true for all of us? Certainly true for me. How often do I hear about God? We have news reports, you know, about stuff that comes out of these super fundamentalist Christians or something a friend says positively or negative, an unsubstantiated opinion about God of my own, maybe judgments about God based on history that I don't really understand and don't really know about, but it's easy for me to simply dismiss or, you know, arrive at some easy judgment or criticism of maybe the church, and I extend that right on to God and everything like that, and I write it all off. Knowing about someone is totally different than knowing someone. Wouldn't you say that's true? I mean, if you only know about someone, it's really easy to write them off, positively or negatively. But when you actually get to know them, you feel like, you know, things are a little more complex. Job says, God, in the past, I only knew what others had told me about you. And now I have seen you with my own eyes. I think getting to know God isn't about knowing more about God. It isn't about hearing more about God. It's getting to know God, spending time with. It takes a lifetime to do that. So that led right to my prayer. I mean, that was my application. You know, if I need God's view filling mine out, then I need to get to know God. And if I don't know God, that's a problem. That was my application. So my prayer was just obviously this. God, I spend a lot of time hearing or thinking about you instead of getting to know you. Help me to know you at least as well as I know about you. That's it. Simple as that. And that's it, folks. If you want a 3D life, you need to be inspired. You need to let God breathe into you. And you do that by getting to know God, opening yourself up to that, not just knowing about God. That's how it happens consistently in our life. Now, you may be thinking, well, can't I do that myself? I mean, can't I just be reflective? There's a lot of wisdom out there. There's a lot of learning. I'm a smart person. You're smart people. Can't we kind of just figure these things out ourselves and get a bigger view? You know, not just see the world simply or superficially, but can't I think more deeply about things? You know, make sure I keep up on the news and read good books and stuff like that. And the answer is, frankly, no, you can't. This is how I think it works, okay? There's such a thing as climbing a hill. Not a big challenge. You know, if you can walk and you got some decent tennis shoes, you can climb up a hill. You might get a little tired, but you can do it. Now, if the hill gets bigger and bigger, it becomes a little bit more of a challenge, but the same sneakers and a, you know, good jacket will get you there. Even to the point where that hill becomes, you know, a pretty major mountain, but it's hikeable, and by golly, you take the time and you work hard, you can climb that mountain. But at some point, it's hard to say just where it happens, that mountain becomes insurmountable. And I don't care how much hiking experience you've got, how good of a walker you've got, and how good a shape you're in, you are not going to scale that mountain. It takes special equipment. You need crampons and special boots. You need ice axes and ropes and pitons and carabiners. And you need other people along with you in order to be able to do it. We have to realize that the switch from 2D to 3D is like that. You can tweak, you can improve, you can make all kinds of refinements on your life, and that's good. I hope you do those things. But ultimately, the life that is going to be truly fulfilling needs a view that you do not have. It takes special skill and training that you cannot give yourself. This is what God says. That's why I want to give you my vision. I want to inspire you. I want you to know me so you can see your life and you can see this world in a way that you will never glimpse by yourself. Get to know me. You'll begin to see it piece by piece. It's going to make a lot of sense for you. Now, the Bible isn't the only place, and it shouldn't be the only place you get this inspiration from God. But I think it is a foundational place for you to start. I think it is sort of a check and balance for you. And it is complicated. I realize that the Bible is hard to read. And it's easy when your first few tries to say, this is too tough. Well, guess what? It's really hard to wear carabiners and ropes and climb your first mountain, too. I mean, if it's really going to deliver big stuff, it probably needs to be pretty powerful equipment. The Word of God is something you're going to spend your life wrestling with. Just like getting to know a person. You don't get to know a person inside and out by having coffee with them over lunch. You get to know them by spending a lifetime. There are things my wife and I do not know about each other, do not understand about each other, and I'm not trying to be snarky about that. I mean, there are things that we just will never truly understand about each other, even though we live together for decades. Getting to know God, I would imagine, is at least that complex. And God calls us into that relationship and to do that. So, trying to find a way for people like you, like me, to learn to do this is something that we've been seeking here at Jacob's Well for a long time. I think if you ever get a crowd of people who say, well, I'm willing to show up at a church or show up and be church, but I'm not real comfortable with the Bible. I mean, hi guys, you're it, you know. So how do we start helping you to do that? And we really think that this idea about soap is not a bad way to do it. In fact, we think it's a great way to do it. Giving 10 minutes of your time every day to encounter the Bible in a way that makes sense. That it can build upon itself, and you're doing this with a community of people that are trying to do that with you. Now, SOAP is an acronym, scripture, or I actually prefer sentence, then observation, application, and prayer. If you don't like that acronym, that's okay, all right? In fact, we were thinking about this, and we had a different way of talking about it. We were talking about, you know, first of all, you start with a paragraph, so P for paragraph, and then you have the observation, the O for observation, like you do in the regular one, and then after that, then you have this opportunity. How can I employ this in my life? Some of you see this coming. And then you end up with the prayer again, you know, at the end, a P. And that's great, because everybody should poop. In fact, everybody should poop every day. If you don't, you're not healthy. And I think it's one of our best ideas that got vetoed, frankly. I know it would have got all the middle school kids on the program with us for sure. But, yeah, so, you know, if you would like the soap, or you know, you can sit down in the morning and take care of it in a couple minutes. It's not a big deal. So, okay, I promise I'll stop. Whether you would prefer to soap or to poop, that's up to you. Nonetheless, it ends up being the same thing. And here's your challenge. This is on the outline. I'm going to invite you to do this with me. And by the way, the soap cards for this week are in the offering baskets. If you didn't pick that up when it pass by four, you can get one when we pass it back for the offering. And it's on the outline. It's going to be on the screen. It's popping up there now. And I'm going to read it to you slowly, and you can read along silently. And then I want you to take a short time to reread or to think through it yourself and put question marks, stuff that bugs you, bothers you, you're not sure about, whatever, right? Put some question marks. I hope you got a pen when you came in. And then find the line, though, that speaks to you, all right, positively or negatively. Sometimes the questions are what you need to walk out with. Something that bothers you is what you need to walk out with. And underline that, okay? So here's a reading. It's from John chapter 4. This is actually the chapter of the story that Jacob's Well gets its name from as a community. And so Jesus shows up at this well and meets a Samaritan woman. I'm not going to give you the whole backstory. So I'll read this closely. You can follow along silently. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." So take a little bit of time, look through that, question marks, underline, and then we'll take it from there. Okay, I'm probably cutting you off a little short, but hey, you can work on this later today too, right? I want to give you some micro experience with this. So hopefully you may have found a few distractions and put some question marks. Hopefully you found a line that says, wow, I need to wrestle with this one, okay? Now, here's what I want you to do. The next piece is application. How does whatever it is that you found, what you underlined, how does this apply to you? And, okay, so this is what you need to know. I want you, this is why you need a communication card. I'd like you to write just a bullet point or whatever about how does this apply to me on your communication card, right? Then those will go on the offering basket. This is our part of being a part of a conversation. You don't have to tell us any more than you want to tell us, but this is how we turn this preaching into conversation, right? So do that, and then I'm going to ask you to find those same two people that you talked to earlier and share your how that applied to you, as much as you feel comfortable doing that, okay? So just knowing that. If you want to write them on your Sunday papers, you can take your application points home with you too. Go ahead and do that. So I'm going to give you a few seconds to write your application bullet point, thoughts, half sentence, whatever down, and then find those two people and talk for a minute, just kind of throw out there what your application was. Okay, hopefully I'm frustrating you a little bit and you would love to have had a little bit more time doing that. That's kind of what group life will do for you too, to get a chance when you get together in group life to share some of the applications that you came up with from the week and some of those places maybe you felt inspired by God. So the last piece of that then is prayer. And I want to close this little soap experience off with a few words to God, and let me lead us through the silence. We're such a big group, okay? God, each of us here bumped into your word that we call the Bible differently just now. For some of us, it was great. For some of us, it was a flop. But each of us experienced something. In the silence of the next 20 seconds, each of us is going to be thinking about what it was that delighted or vexed us, and we ask that you hear us and keep the conversation going. God, as you came to that woman at the well thousands of years ago, and Jesus, we ask that you come to us today and fill us with life. We need it. Amen. Okay, so that was it, you know? Hey, we did it as a group of 100-plus people in less than 10 minutes. You can do it in 10 minutes at home as well. But this is the sort of thing that getting this kind of inspiration from God and figuring out how to do that and opening it up is something that you don't want to just have it happen once in a while. Sure, inspiration just happens. But we need it to happen consistently. We need it to be a regular part of our diet as lives. And so how do we do that? So a couple of real quick things here. First of all, tune into God, right? Tune into God. You're not going to hear God speaking to you. You're not going to be inspired by God if you're always tuned to a different station, all right? Soap is a way of getting you on God station. That's why I suggest doing it first thing in the morning. It tunes you in a different place. You start hearing God all day long. It's working in your brain and in your mind that way. The next thing is to identify insights. It's one thing to read the Bible. It's another thing to have some sort of experience like this with a purpose in doing it. You don't read anything. You don't read a book. You don't have a conversation with a person without trying to think like, what am I getting out of this? Ask that question. Identify the stuff, positively, negatively, that is impacting you as you read the passage from the Bible that you have for that day. Don't just read it. Read it and look for something. And then so it doesn't evaporate from you after you've done that, reinforce the learnings, okay? So you do that in two different ways. One is to write it, right? You write it. Or draw it, or act it, dance it. I, frankly, don't care how you do it. But this multi-sensory use of what you are learning is what's going to drive it down into your consciousness so it sticks with you the rest of the day and incorporates those learnings into your memory and your thought patterns. For most of us, the most likely way to do that is writing. I'm probably not going to be dancing it. Maybe, we'll see. But writing is. So keep a journal, all right? I'll say that again. Keep a journal. Turn to the person next to you and say, keep a journal. You don't have to, but we've got some up here. If you don't have one, grab one and do that. And when you write it, write all of it. What's the sentence you picked out? What did you observe? What were the questions you had? What's the verse? Write the verse that you were caught on there. What's my application? Just a bullet point or two. That's right. And then what's my prayer? Keep it short. Write it all down. It makes a difference. And then the last is share it. You don't have to put it on Facebook, okay? In fact, I hope it's too personal for you to put on Facebook, or at least for me to want to read when you put it on Facebook. I hope it's really meaningful stuff for you. But let people who you trust, know what God is doing in your life and what you are looking for as you try to have a 3D life. God's inspiration continues through you to other people, and it's exchanged from person to person. And this is perhaps the most life-giving part of the process. Group life is, we created group life for this purpose. If you've never tried group life before, there are a bunch of people with name tags today, talk to them about it. If you're interested at all in it, on your communication card, just write group life. And we'll just get you the information so you can make a decision about it. But this is a place for you to connect about what's going on with all this. So just a week or so ago, Melissa was talking to some group life groups and just said to them, if you've got any ahas about group life, would you write them down for us? And I started getting emails. I want to share just one with you. This is hard for me to read. Greg, this is why I love group life. Through the years, I've struggled with low self-esteem, addictions, and selfishness. It was hard to make good connections and friendships during that time in my life. After treatment and the recovery, I still didn't have the connection of friends to help me get through life. I just thought I'm not worthy of friendship and lost myself with raising my kids. Group life has helped me accept the good and the bad things about my past. My self-esteem has grown through the trusted friendships that I've made over the past 2 years. They remind me I am loved no matter what. I truly believe that now. Another great thing about group life is everyone is enthusiastic about their faith and they're learning more. Some question their faith and have a hard time believing, but that's the beauty of our group. We talk it out where everyone has their own opinion and no one, hopefully, feels excluded. I can see, hear, and feel the integrity of our group by how they serve, they volunteer, and help each other out. I so want to be that person who inspires and helps other people. I'm in awe of how they fit so much into their daily lives. I tend to hide behind my kids' activities and work, putting them before my faith and serving others. That's when I need group life the most. Group life gets me out of my shell where I can not only work and take care of my family life, but my spirituality grows so much that I have the energy to serve others rather than myself. Keeping the focus on our highs and lows and the message helps our gathering stay on track. The group is respectful in letting everyone have a chance to talk. And if someone is particularly having a really rough time with life, the floor is theirs. God, we close our eyes for a moment and we calm our hearts and we turn to you. Inspire us There's so much we do not know and cannot understand. We really don't want to settle for a life that doesn't reach for its possibilities. And we've got lots of excuses for not giving you a chance. There are a million reasons not to read the Bible. But help us actually get to know you. Not just hear about you. Breathe life into us. Help us breathe your life into others. That's it. Thank you. Amen.